Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hi, Dr. Looper.
Hi, Haley.
How are you?
Good, real good.
Good. Well, I thought that we would talk about one of our most important organs today. It's our largest internal organ.
You must be talking about the liver.
Yes, I am. Filtration, detoxification.
So we should talk about the liver
in ways... Yeah, it stores like all of our blood.
In ways that people can really kind of get a better understanding of what liver does. So liver does all those things that you said.
Mm-hmm.
But what the liver does is it regulates our blood. That's the main thing. It puts food in our blood. It takes nasty bits out of our blood. It regulates the hormones in our blood. It regulates a bunch of stuff in our blood. Now, how it does so, how the architecture of the liver is set up, is imagine I'm a liver cell living in my little box, right? This is my cell. On the front side, there's a capillary. That's where the blood goes by. On the back side, there's a bile duct. And so I'm butted up against a blood vessel on one side, bile duct on the other side. The bile duct is like the sewer.
Yeah.
So if I want to throw something away, I just huck it out the back. It goes plop into the sewer. And then eventually, as the sewer squeezes, it runs down the pipes to the bigger pipes. And that connects with a bigger pipe. And that connects with the gallbladder. That connects to your digestive system. And then, you know, things are flushed out. Now, an aside is that that bile stuff also is a fairly decent emulsifier of fat.
Right.
So it actually enhances digestion.
Yeah.
But let's not kid ourselves. What it mostly is drainage, because the liver's got to sort the good stuff from the bad. And depending on how we're living, depends on how much bad.
And the way we're living in today's day and age, there's more bad out there that we're constantly exposed to. So.
Wait. Yes and no. In the olden days when we were all cavemen, we were living off of nuts and berries and roots and bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that nuts and berries and roots and bugs are very, very good for us, unless they're the toxic kinds of nuts and berries and roots and bugs. And in that case, our liver back in the olden days had more work to do than we do now, because our liver was basically keeping us alive, sorting the poison, filtering the poison out that accidentally got accumulated or included in the food that we ate. Over, you know, millions of years, at least thousands of years, human beings have got better and better and better about kind of sorting out and growing stuff that's not toxic. So liver important.
So
liver
very good. Important. Now,
okay, wait. Let me get back to the picture again. So here's a capillary right in front of me. I'm a liver cell. And so I'm feeling everything goes by. And I'm sensing, aha, there's some sugar-like stuff. Let me pull it in and handle it and decide what to do with it. Do we want to turn it into glycogen so we can use it, you know, later today? Or do we want to turn it into fat? Then in that case, I'm going to have to help trigger this hormone release. We're going to... Right, there's decisions to make. What do we do with the stuff? There's hormones going by. There's fats going by. There's proteins going by.
There's toxins going
there's
by.
There's toxins going by. There's all kinds of stuff going by.
So and how does it prioritize?
Stuff kills you gets prioritized as number one. And stuff that doesn't kill you gets dropped down in a lower priority. Let me give an example. So if you eat, you know, something tainted, and then there's, you know, taint coming
mold.
In. Mold or something that's rotten a little bit or whatever, just stuff. Then your liver has to deal with all that. So what it does is it'll pull those things in, process them. Typically what it'll do is it'll attach a tag saying this is for export only, do not reabsorb, and then pitch it in the bile. Now, sometimes that's good enough. If it's a mild toxin, if it's a really, really strong toxin, it's going to take more work. And sometimes your liver literally does not have the time to do it because there's too much coming in. So what it does with the toxic stuff is it'll place it in a garbage can that's a neutral place that where the toxin can do no damage. That neutral place is a blob of fat. So next to the cell, if the liver wants to, it can blob up some fat here, mostly made out of cholesterol.
Is that fatty liver?
Exactly. Wow. How do you get a fatty liver? Because your liver is trying to solve this problem. If I got all this toxic crap that's coming in from the bloodstream, uh-huh. and I got some place to put it. This is a hot potato. I don't want to just throw it anywhere. Throw it in the bile. Maybe it's going to cause some damage here. No. For now, just momentarily, I'm going to put it in this big blob of fat. Goes in the blob of fat, and now it's coated, and it causes no trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe.
So the liver forms this fatty layer itself.
Yes.
That's crazy.
I wouldn't call it a layer. It's not more of a layer.
Appendage.
These are blobs.
Okay.
There's a cell, and then you're in the next cell, and there's a little space between us.
Okay. Oh.
That's where the blob goes.
Okay. It's not, like, attached to it.
No, it's just, like, in between. It's in the cracks.
It's like a little friend.
And so we're going to just simply put the blobby, nasty bit into the neutral blob of fat.
Uh-huh.
And so if we got a lot of these toxic crap coming in, then we need a lot of fat
to put
the stuff into.
Yeah, and, you know, we see a lot of patients with fatty liver, a lot of patients from fatty liver from alcohol use.
Yeah, there's mostly the patients we're seeing are called NASH patients. That's non-alcoholic,
yeah.
steatorrheic hepatitis
okay.
is what it is. And so what it's telling us is there's extra fat between the cells. You have what's in common lingo, it's called fatty liver.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, I swear, Dr. Liber, I don't drink any alcohol. In fact, if I drink any alcohol, it makes me nauseous and I feel horrible. I had a patient today with this. I mean, mm-hmm. this is like, you know, once a week, twice a week kind of thing.
Right.
You see people coming in with this one. And today I had a patient with this. And so the thing I want you to understand, same with my patient, is the fatty part is not the problem. It's the solution. The problem is there's toxic stuff.
There's too much overload for the liver. The liver can't process all of it.
Too much toxic stuff. And you notice I keep using the word toxic crap, and I'm not using that loosely.
Uh-huh.
It literally is crap. That is stuff from the digestive
secretions.
System. That, yeah, that are toxic.
Uh-huh.
And that just get absorbed with everything else. Now, your body's going to try to get as much of that stuff out into the toilet. Maybe if it's bad enough, your body will generate diarrhea.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you just want to just close everything off and just slow it all down. So wall it off. And then you'll get constipation.
Now, I'm going to ask a maybe layman question, but in the process of digestion, does it go through the small intestine before it's processed through the liver, or does the liver come first?
So everything that's absorbed in the digestive system at any level
uh-huh.
goes to the liver first.
Okay.
So the way the system's set up
that's
is everything from our digestive system goes to the liver to be inspected.
Uh-huh.
So that the liver can, you know, process it. And so it all gets filtered through the liver first. I'm tempted to talk more about this. Yeah, you asked the question, so you just bought yourself a bigger explanation. In our body, our heart pumps blood, and it goes out a big pipe.
Yep.
And then that pipe divides into smaller pipes, which divides into smaller pipes, which eventually gets down into a capillary bed.
Uh-huh.
That's just as normal.
Yes.
And then the blood bathes a tissue through the capillaries, and then it gets collected back up into veins. These first ones are all arteries. And then it gets collected back up in veins. Smaller veins go to bigger veins go to yet bigger veins, eventually goes in the biggest vein, the vena cava, goes back to the heart, and it goes around. That's a circulatory system. That's the way it works. One capillary bed. But there are places in the body that have an extra capillary bed. There's extra capillary bed. There's a capillary bed, and then the veins bring it all together, and then they spread into a secondary capillary bed. Our digestive system is one of those places. So the capillary bed goes initially through the digestive system, where the blood absorbs nutrients from our diet, also toxins or other stuff gets in accidentally. Also, oxygen gets to the cells that are doing all this work, and nutrition gets there, and those cells get bathed in all the happiness and joy that every other cell gets based on our blood carrying what it needs to do its job. But then all that stuff gets funneled over to the liver, and then the liver has to process whatever that stuff is. And that's how it works, and the system's lovely. Except if there's inflammation. And if there's inflammation, or just if everything is running too hot, too much volume overload, just too much, then you'll get some back pressure. And that portal system, you know, because it's a little mini circulatory system inside our bigger circulatory system, we'll get a high pressure in that system. Now that circulatory system, mini circulatory system, fits here in the gut, because this is where our digestive system is, and this is our liver's over here. Mm-hmm. And so the capillary bed spreads out all over here and then comes back together and then spreads out here, and it forms a kind of a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom of that triangle is your rectum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ever get pressure in that system, either because your guts are bad or your liver is bad, mm-hmm. either side or both, then that pressure builds up, and the blood vessels at the bottom of that, where the gravity is the most, they expand.
Oh.
They get stretched.
Uh-huh.
That's called hemorrhoids.
Yep.
So hemorrhoids, people wonder, why do I get these hemorrhoids? What the heck's going on? It's because your guts are bad in some way, or your liver's bad in some way, or both of them are bad in some way, and there's an increase in pressure, and the pressure has to come out somewhere, because it can only take so much pressure, otherwise it just pops. Well, it's popping is what it's doing.
Yep.
So it's super important for us to have things run as well as we can. I mean, aside from the fact that we just want to feel good and be able to do anything we want, we don't want to have hemorrhoids either.
No. So what are some of the other symptoms that one might feel if their liver is not functioning as it
Nausea.
Should? Nausea.
Mm-hmm. Tiredness, rashy, yellow.
Yeah, so...
Because if the system gets bad enough and there's enough swelling in the liver that the bile duct drainage system gets pinched off. Imagine, again, I'm a cell and now I'm sick. And I kind of get puffy because I've just got this inflammation thing going on. And now I just squeezed everything out. That little duct that was behind me, all of us cells are all arranged around it in a circle. Because there's me, there's a guy below me, there's a guy above me, all the way around in the circle. That's how it's set up. Okay? And we all swell, and then we just squeezed out that little tube. So now the bile that's being created from the breakdown of blood, bilirubin specifically, use the right word, bilirubin. Bilirubin is being created from the breakdown of blood, which normally would have went in the bile tube. Now the bile tube's cut off, and so it can't go anywhere. So now it just stays out in the blood. And it's yellow.
Yep.
Let it stay out there long enough, a few hours or a day or two, now you turn yellow. And so jaundice is a sign of hepatitis.
Yes.
So if you get hepatitis A, you eat something that's got the virus in it, and your liver gets real sick, then either you're going to get better or you're going to die. You got those two choices you have. But in the meantime, your liver's going to suffer. And if it's really bad, you'll get jaundice. And if it's not so bad, you won't. Mm. If the swelling's really bad, then nothing can flow. If the swelling's not so bad, then things can flow and you can get through it okay. Some people get light cases of Hep A. Other people get really serious cases of Hep A. Depends on how healthy you were to start with mostly, and just kind of luck as well. Okay?
Yeah.
So the thing about the liver this is all interesting, I think, except for I want to make it more relevant to people's lives. For example, with hormones, people a lot of times will get... You know, they'll get hot flashes, or they'll get PMS, or they'll get moody, right? Or they get breast tenderness, or they get cramping, or they get a whole bunch of stuff. And then, you know, folks, like, they go to a doctor like me, and the doctor say, well, it's your liver, it's acting up. And you wonder, wow, what? The liver?
I came here
for cramps.
How does
that even work?
Why are you talking about my liver?
So one of the jobs the liver does is it regulates your hormones. Because the hormones, some of them are new because they just got made an hour ago, and other ones are old because they've been, you know, made days or weeks ago. And so your liver's got to sort out the good stuff from the bad. If they're old and tired and they're not working quite right, the liver pulls them out, puts a tag on them, throws them in the bile duct for export. That's what it does. It's a normal job. The liver does it every day. Now, if the liver's busy sorting out toxins, because these are going to kill you, then the hormone stuff is not going to kill you. We're just going to ignore it. Just going to let it sit over there. And just whatever. They'll go by. We're doing other stuff.
But then it builds up too much, which then leads to...
We got new hormones and old hormones and middle-aged hormones all mixed together. And now we got too many hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hormones slowly, slowly, slowly pile up. To the point now it's going to really be messing with us. It's going to screw stuff up. again, you get hormones get high enough, then you lose fertility. Maybe you grow
cortisol
cancer.
Levels.
There's a bunch of stuff. There's all kinds of things. And so then the liver, in its wisdom, says, "Wow, we got to do the hormones." So it batches them. It does hormones, 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 hormones. And so the hormone levels drop because all the old hormones are tagged and thrown away, tagged and thrown away. And so those hormone levels drop. So what happens is on a monthly cycle, typically, they go up and then they crash. They go up and they crash. They go up and they crash. And that's what's causing the symptoms. That's what's making you feel bad. And that thing where you get night sweats is because your body's trying to heat up, because then the whole process can go better. We can't live hot. We burn out. But we can go hot for a little while. And the best time to go hot is at night, because that's when most of this action's happening. Your liver is busier at night. Your body, your metabolism in some ways is busier at night, as long as your metabolism will go up. I mean, lots of your organs are cleaning. The whole cleaning and repair process is much stronger at night than it is in the daytime. Clearly, you're not going to be sorting your food out at that point, because your food's already been absorbed and there's not much coming from your digestive system. So it's a great time to be doing maintenance at night. And so
if you are a late snacker,
then you're just going to slow this process down.
Yeah, you're not going to go into that.
Assuming
process.
You're not doing that. So your body and it needs to get more done.
Uh-huh.
And so your liver, in its wisdom, takes the thermostat of your body and turns it up a degree or so, and suddenly everything's running better. And woo-woo, we're getting stuff done. Wing, bang, boom, it's going through. But you can't live there.
But
you can't live there. You live there, you burn up, and you get a short life.
Yeah.
And so what it does is it turns the temperature back down. And so then the cooling mechanisms kick on.
Uh-huh.
And you break out into a sweat.
Uh-huh.
And now you wake up in the middle of the night sweaty, thinking, why am I sweating at night? I'm laying here in bed. What the heck's going on? Not knowing that your liver did you a favor and turned your temperature up so that it could get all the work done it needs to do. So when people have night sweats, I always got to remind them. I say, aren't you lucky?
Yeah.
Your liver knows what to do to get all this stuff out of your system. You're actually healthy enough to do night sweats? Woo, that's good.
Well, now, over time, I'm wondering if over time, doing that multiple times, will that break your thermostat? Will that break your thyroid?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, you could break, but it's not going to break because it's being used.
Okay.
And that's just your liver just doing the job it needs to do. Now, the problem really is it's like that fatty liver thing. You look at the fatty liver and you say, we got a problem. And you do. It's not the fatty liver. It's the toxins that are coming into your body.
Mm-hmm.
When you see somebody having night sweats, you know, people think that's the problem.
No,
it's not. That's a sign of the problem. That's a symptom of your body actually solving the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, in fact, a problem.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
So one of the reasons we're talking about this is because you think about it. You as a human being, you got problems. I mean, we're not going to go to all your problems, but there's things that your body does well and things it doesn't do well. And so this comes up as an issue. And you and all your, you know, all the other people who are in a similar situation talk about how to solve this problem. And somebody somewhere said, if you can do a liver cleanse, you haven't actually told me this, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If you can do a liver cleanse, you can do better on this one.
Yeah.
And if you can get your liver running better, it can clear up your night sweats and your nausea and your skin.
Yeah.
And your whatever, all the other stuff that's
going on. That's exactly where I'm going with this problem. And we have had this conversation in the past, because when I first started working with you, I said, Dr. Looper, I have horrible mood swings when I'm, you know, going through my menses. What's going on? And you said that you're probably infected in your guts. Your body's probably taking blood away from your liver to work on that infection in your guts. And then that takes away from your liver's ability to process these hormones. And those hormones are getting built up and it's making you go a little crazy.
Yeah.
And so we did some testing, and you were right. And we worked on it, and it got better. So
By treating the infection, also by stimulating blood flow to your liver. There's ways to do that.
So one of the ways I've seen you do that
aside from night sweats.
aside from your body kicking on its own thermostat, you do castor oil packs?
Yeah, they work really well.
Okay.
They're remarkably effective. You want to talk about them?
Yeah. So what's the deal with castor oil?
Okay, don't drink it. Castor oil is a horrible laxative. It'll empty you. It'll stimulate the most intense contractions and drain every drop of poop out of you all at one go.
Can you do it in like a healthy way?
Yeah, don't drink it. I can't emphasize that enough. Don't drink it.
So what? Not you even want, a drop.
No, not nothing. Don't drink it. What you should do is absorb it through your skin.
Okay.
Now, your skin has a layer of fat embedded in it that makes your skin waterproof.
Mm-hmm.
So water won't go through your skin. It's designed not to. But oily things can penetrate oil.
Yes.
Oil goes through oil. So an oily thing like castor oil can soak right through your skin. Now, it doesn't go fast because it has to go through, you know, 20-plus layers of skin, but it go through nonetheless. And it's so strong that all it takes is a little bit. So what happens is the oil, let me just tell you how to do it. What you do is you take a piece of cloth, flannel is better because it's got a little nap to it. You know, it holds the oil. You drizzle oil on it, you fold it up, fold, and then let it all soak in. Then you unfold it and you put it over your liver.
Maybe, and you let it sit there.
Yeah.
You wrap it on yourself.
Yeah, you should hold it on. It's kind of nice to take a piece of saran wrap and wrap yourself with it or just wrap around it because it kind of sticks to you a little bit. And then throw a towel over the top just for, you know, warmth, I guess.
Protection.
Or you could throw, if you want, you throw a hot pack on top of it or a rice bag that you put in the microwave and just got some heat to it or a hot water bottle. That'll work too.
How long?
Just you want to get some heat onto it. So if it's warm, it drives the oil in quicker, better, faster. Now, your own body heat's going to heat it up.
Uh-huh.
But it'll just work a little bit better if you had a little more heat added to it. And then you just kick back. You get it on you, and then you just kick back. And you watch TV, or you read a book, or you just hang out and
chat.
Can
you fall asleep with it?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to leave it on for a really, really long time. It's stimulatory. And what we want to do with stimulation is we want to run it for a short period of time and then take it off. It's like the night sweats.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to run the whole night or the whole week. It's too much. And then it doesn't work right anymore. We want to surge and then back off, surge and back off. So you can do it every day, but you should do it for about an hour. I mean, if you were just determined to squeeze as much out of it, you could get maybe an hour and a half, maybe only 45 minutes. You don't need to do it for a long time. And it's kind of better just to kind of let it surge a little bit. When it does surge, you could strip it off and it'll still work. I mean, it's soaked in through your skin. It's still there. And what the castor oil does is it's a smooth muscle stimulant. It causes a smooth muscle to go like that. So you get this pumping action.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything starts pumping. Remember I told you, we want the bile to flow.
Right.
Because
yes.
The bile is full of the toxic stuff.
You want it
stuff.
To start processing all those macronutrients.
So squeeze, everything goes on out, and then everything runs better.
Mm-hmm. Now, and then the circulation.
There's another way to do this. There's a reflex that we have if you get a lot of oil in your diet that causes your body to squeeze the bile out, because the bile is used as an oil emulsifier. That is, it breaks the oil down. That's the reason why we got a gallbladder, is so that we could take the bile that we make and put it in a little sack and save it for when we need it.
Uh-huh.
You know, later in the day when we have pizza.
Some people don't have that, though.
Lots of people don't have it because they go bad.
Yeah.
People with a lot of liver inflammation tend to have toxic bile because it's got a lot of toxics in them, and it ends up irritating the body, and the body forms stones, and there's all kinds of horrible stuff. So all that can be fixed, so to speak, by having it taken out. So if you have gallbladder dysfunction, you could actually just take it out and then everything tends to run better. Just imagine, if you will, if you got stones in the gallbladder. You got a tube coming in on one side and a tube going out on the other side and a bunch of BBs in there. What's to stop the BBs from blocking the tube? Nothing. Just gravity, I guess. And your gallbladder squeezing and the BBs get kind of pushed around and there it is. It just blocked it. And you go, you feel horrible. Like somebody's like cramping to the max because you got a BB in the blocking the tube and then your liver's all backed up. Now you get it backed up enough, you're going to turn jaundice because remember the bile won't flow anymore. And then the bilirubin can't clear out of your system. And now you got jaundice and you got hepatitis. And you have to go to the hospital. So this can be like a deadly thing. So what doctors do appropriately is they say, look, you got a problem here. We got to take this gallbladder out. You don't need one.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out you don't, kind of. Actually do.
Yeah, if you want to eat things like pizza.
Because it's nice to have a reservoir of extra bile to use to deal with fatty foods.
Yeah, hamburgers, pizza.
Otherwise, you don't. And so if you eat these fatty foods, you don't break the fat down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fat goes to your lower intestine, mm-hmm. and it becomes food for bacteria, mm-hmm. and it becomes this more of this toxic crap that we talked about earlier.
Right.
It goes rancid is what it does. Yeah. Or sometimes you the oil's not particularly easy to break down, so sometimes you just poop it out, and you make oily poop that kind of floats.
So other than...
Wait. There's a thing, I interrupt you, because there's a thing we got started on this, uh-huh. which was talking about how to get your liver to get clean and do a liver...
Cleanse. Yes.
One of the ways you can do a liver cleanse is you pour a quarter cup of olive oil in a glass, and you squeeze the juice of a lemon in there, or half a lemon, and you stir it up. You make like this kind of weird salad dressing
oily,
thing.
Oily, yeah.
This lemony, oily concoction, and then you drink it all, glug, 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 all in one go.
A quarter of a cup, huh?
Yeah, enough to do like a
huge
salad.
And that stimulates it?
Yeah, you bet.
And that...
All that,
that
oil
once...
comes down, makes elicits a reflex. Your body goes, oil... We got to emulsify this oil quick. Squeeze, 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 squeeze. And then tons of bile comes out. And
so
you
like half of a lemon?
Yeah, half of a lemon.
Now, and do that every day for a week or just once a week or?
Okay, I told you about it. And let me also say, I don't want you to do it.
Oh.
Don't do this. There's more elegant ways to get the job done. This is basically, we're going to get the liver working by getting a bat. And we're going to whack it.
That's the whack approach.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Unless you get maimed.
Well, okay. I was thinking of maybe approaching it like a 2-ounce shot of oil with some lemon.
Yeah,
maybe
you
not
can do
a
that.
Quarter
you can do
cup.
That. You can do that. There's a way to do it too. But I wouldn't do it that way. What I would do instead is I'd think, okay, if the liver is swollen and backed up and you got a lot of fat in it and your hormones are all screwed up, what we should do, instead of trying just to make the liver pump better, what we should do, you know, that's a valid thing to do, except for it's not. The better thing to do is let's get rid of the toxic crap that's coming in that's causing the problem to begin with. And we should do what we did with you, which is let's find the infections, because mm-hmm. chances are you have them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's treat them,
mm-hmm.
clear them up. Let's have you do lots of healthy food,
uh-huh.
vegetables, and easy to digest, clean, fresh protein sources, right?
Right.
And then we're going to do, you know, plenty of fiber.
Uh-huh.
That'll be helpful as well. We'll have you exercise. That'll get your blood flowing. Remember we talked about
it's always exercise, isn't it?
Every time we talk, it's always the same thing. It's eat right and exercise. You know, we can do the castor oil, which uh-huh. will get more blood flowing through your liver. Or we can just have you exercise. That'll
right.
get more blood flowing through your liver as well, because everything will get more blood
yeah,
flowing.
Yeah, everything.
Blood just flows more
circulating
everywhere.
At that point.
And you also, you're jiggling your bits by, you know, walking or running or twisting or rolling on the floor, as the case may be. Maybe you're doing yoga and you're stretching.
Uh-huh.
And everything's kind of getting massaged. And guess what? Everything runs better. You stand on your head. That actually helps your liver.
Uh-huh.
You roll around on the floor and twist, you know?
Yeah.
That helps your liver. Your liver gets a little jiggled and everything runs better. There it is. That's how to do it. So you just think, how can I get my body running better by doing things that feel good, and most of the time that turns out to be like the best thing that you can do. It works better that way.
What about herbs?
Now, herbs are lovely. There's
yes.
a zillion herbs that are helpful. Let's talk about herbs. I like herbs. Herbs are good. Milk thistle
okay.
is a lovely herb. Milk thistle is protective and gentle and encouraging to your liver to work better. It tends to save it from the toxicity. So it's good. It's
okay.
a great thing to do.
In a tea or in an extract?
Yes.
Both?
Yes. Yes is right.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Dandelion mm-hmm. is good. Burdock is good. Chelidonium is one of my favorites.
Oh.
And Chionanthus
oh.
is another one of my favorites. I usually put those two in combination in every liver formula that I ever do.
I've seen those in, your hormone balancing.
Yeah, those are
that
mainstays
makes sense.
In that one. Right?
That does, yeah.
And curcumin.
Yep, it's
is another
stimulating.
Good one. Yeah, and it's also protective, so it's a lovely one. Yeah, I can go on and on. There's a zillion herbs that are helpful.
Yeah, good, 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 good. Well, it sounds like it really all boils down to eating right and exercising to keep
yes,
your liver healthy.
So often is the case. It really does. Yeah, it turns out the most important part.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for all the information.
Hey, my pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.